Hello, everyone. Welcome to Conversations for this Thursday. I am Tom Lamprecht. Always great to be with you and with Harry Reeder to talk about the issues of the day, challenging subjects which we would do well to learn how to approach with a Christian world and life perspective. This week, we've entitled our conversations, The Bedrock of Christianity, Christianity 101, and it is the gospel. If we don't get the gospel right, nothing else will be right in our lives. Yesterday, we talked about how the gospel has saved us. Today, we turn to how the gospel is saving us.
Yeah, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. You are a new creation. He has saved you from the power of sin. You've been born again. He has saved you from the penalty of sin. You've been justified. He has saved you from the position of sin. You are now adopted. You've got a new heart. You got a new record. You got a new family. And so praise the Lord for that. But you know, that verse didn't end there. That verse said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away. The new has come. You now have a new life. You not only have a new record where your sin has been wiped away by the blood of Christ and the righteousness of Christ that brings you to heaven and its perfection has been given to you. You not only have a new heart, you not only have a new family, you're in the family of God and God is your father and his people are your brothers and sisters, but you've also got a new life. Now, the Bible calls this sanctification. This is a process whereby you're growing in grace. Conversion is an event. You're born again, justified, and adopted. That is an act of God on your behalf. Sanctification is a work of God in you for his glory. And that is where he is making you more and more like his son through the adversities of life, the blessings of life, the challenges of life, as he's making you more and more like his son. So the Bible has saved us from the power, the penalty, and the position of sin. It is saving us from the practice of sin. You know, one time, Tom, I was talked to by this young fella, and I applaud his heart. He was out sharing the gospel, and he looks and he says, have you been saved? And I said, yes, I have. And he said, can you tell me when? I said, well, that's kind of hard. He said, it is. He said, then have you really been saved? Yeah, well, he said, what do you mean? Why would it be hard? And I said, well, because Jesus has saved me from my sins. The Bible tells me he is saving me from my sins. And then the Bible tells me he will save me from my sins. And he looked at me and said, are you a preacher? When you're born again and you've been justified and adopted, that is at your conversion, you got a new heart, you got a new record, you got a new family, then you now have a new process in your life. And that new process is sanctification. And he is saving you from the practice of your sins. Now, that's just a process. It's an up and down process. It's an ongoing process. It's a process that will not end until he will save us from our sin in glorification when he takes us to be with the Lord. So that's the process that God has given that's at work within our life. He is saving us from the practice of our sins.
Let me unpack that just a little bit. So in other words, when God looks at one of his children and he's looking at the record, somebody brings in and say, okay, here's the record of Tom Lamprecht and Harry Reeder. He looks at that record and he said, clean slate.
Yep, innocent. Not just forgiven, innocent. Our sins have been removed, but Christ's righteousness is there.
In his place. Yeah,
so it's not just he's pardoned, it is he is accepted because of the righteousness of Christ. The Bible says he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of Christ. That's justification.
But then Satan comes in and said, God, let me tell you about Harry and Tom. I know that they've had some impatience and lustful thoughts and those kind of things. In fact, you say they have a clean slate and Christ's righteousness is applied to them, but I know for a fact that last week they slipped into some sin.
Well, first of all, here's what the Bible says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just. In other words, Jesus forgives all of our sins. Why? Father, I paid for them. The issue no longer is a legal problem. The issue no longer is a standing problem. We stand in Christ, clothed by the righteousness of Christ. Sanctification is dealing with the new life that we have in Christ. Now, knowing I'm forgiven out of love to Christ and out of hatred to sin, Not only love to Christ, but hatred of sin, because it's treacherous. It's insane. It's traitorous. So what do I now do? I now want to assassinate sin in my life. Here's what sanctification is. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Now putting aside that old way of living and thinking and feeling and putting on a new way. A number of weeks ago in our programming, Tom, we said that in Christ we got a new heart, we got a new record, we got a new family, but we didn't get a new mind.
Right.
We were given the mind of Christ, his word, but we still got that old mind. So the Bible says,
renew your mind.
I urge you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world. That word means pressed into the mold. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's the word in the Greek. That's the word we get the word metamorphosis from. A caterpillar goes into a cocoon, ugly caterpillar, goes into a cocoon, comes out what?
Beautiful butterfly.
Beautiful butterfly. All right, ugly sinner me, going into the cocoon of God's grace, I come out metamorphosed, transformed. God is creating me as his perfect masterpiece so that I become like Christ. Before I was converted, I lived in sin. I don't live in sin anymore. But I still have sin living in me that I want to get rid of.
Some people could hear what we're talking about today and say, okay, I'm going to then come up with a list of do's and don'ts. Within that list of do's and don'ts, I'm going to follow that list so I do what is right. How do you not fall into then what becomes legalism?
Well, let's define legalism.
Okay.
Legalism is not the absence of do's and don'ts. Don't commit murder. Do we get rid of that because we're Christians?
No, obviously.
No, obviously not. First of all, you don't need to create a list of do's and don'ts. You got them. It's called the Bible. It says, flee temptation, study God's word, meditate. There are all kinds of directives for us. Legalism is when you think you get a new heart and a new record because of your new life. No, legalism is when you think you're saved by what you do. No, we just made the point, what? You have been delivered.
Right.
That's done. Done deal. You're never going to be more born again than you are right now. You're never going to be more right with God than you are right now. You're never going to be more in the family of God than you are right now. Sanctification doesn't save you. Sanctification is that which saves you from the practice of sin. You're already saved from the penalty of sin. You're already saved from the power of sin. You are in the family of God. Of course, the other problem is, well, if I've got all that, why should I care about sin? Hey, in fact, I'll just sin a lot and everybody will just see how wonderful God is.
God's going to love me regardless,
yeah,
right?
And by the way, if it takes grace to overcome my sin, more I sin, the more grace it is, right?
God forbid.
And you say, well, we say God forbid to that. So in the Christian life, we say no to legalism, which is I am saved by the way I live my life, or God is enabled to save me because of the way I live my life. And we also say no to licentiousness or self-centered living. Now, you know, I'm saved by grace, so I can live like I want. No, when we've been saved by grace, we want to hate sin. Sin still has consequences, even as a Christian. Was David forgiven of his sin of adultery and murder?
He was.
Yeah. Did he go to heaven?
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Married a child, too. So the fact that we have been forgiven doesn't make us easy. We become sin assassinators. Folks, you either kill sin or it'll kill you. That doesn't mean you're not forgiven, but sin has consequences in life. You can commit adultery. And God can forgive you, and God will forgive you, and God pays for all of your sins. Will you repent of your sins? God's forgiven you, and all of that. And God brings you back to himself. May have lost your marriage, though. May have been beyond repair. Just because I know that Jesus has paid for all of my sins, it doesn't make me deal with sins lightly. I hate sin because, A, my sin is the reason that Jesus went to the cross out of his love to me. B, my sin is insane, absurd, and treacherous, and not just for me, but for other people around me.
We are out of time for today's conversation. We will continue with this tomorrow. Our theme is the bedrock of Christianity, and of course, that bedrock is the gospel. The gospel has saved us, is saving us, and tomorrow we'll talk about how the gospel will save us.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Let's take a look at the end result of the gospel.
As we close things out for today, let me remind you that the Conversations smartphone app is now available for your smartphone. You can listen to Conversations anytime, anywhere via your smartphone. Download the app at conversationswithharry.com. Well, do join us again tomorrow, Friday, at the same time to be a part of our conversation.